Hello, everybody. We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. And now we're going to talk a little bit more about food, because that's what we do here, right? And that's why you're listening. So now, for some of us urban folks and not so urban folks, if you want to grow some food easily, we're going to talk about how to do that right now. And I'm going to bring on Steve Meyerowitz, the Sprout Man. He's the author of several books on health, diet, and nutrition, including Sprouts, The Miracle Food, Sprout Man's Kitchen Garden Cookbook, and Wheatgrass, Nature's Finest Medicine. He's one of the world's leading proponents of sprouting, juicing, fasting, wheatgrass, indoor gardening, raw foods, and pure water. His website is SproutMan.com. Welcome, Sprout Man, to It's All About Food.
It is a pleasure to be with you, Karen.
Thank you. You know, I talked to you a few years ago. It's been quite a while, and I really enjoyed that conversation, although it put me back a few dollars, because after talking to you, I got one of those Tribus sprouters, and I've been using it ever since. So I'm wondering, what is this show going to cost me?
Well, the price, good health is priceless.
Yes. There you go.
And the same with quality food. And those of us who live in the Northeast, we're now in December. It's a tough time to get fresh food with the vitality that we got used to over the summer.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, my concept really is one of the few ways, and certainly the most inexpensive way, to bring springtime into the homes of Northeasterners and Northerners everywhere in the middle of December.
Springtime for Northeasterners in December.
Has a ring to it. Let's produce it.
Right. Yeah, there we go. Let's put on a show and grow sprouts. Well, the one thing that I enjoyed when I got my Tribus sprouter was that I was able to grow sunflower sprouts, which are my ultimate favorite kind, and I never thought that I could without dirt.
Yes, yes. You know, it's very interesting, but these baby plants mature. We eat them at the seedling stage, so they're only about a week old, give or take. And at that stage, the roots are not mature enough to go into the soil and convert the minerals there into an organic form that the plant can uptake. So therefore, the soil provides a structural bed for the plant, but doesn't actually provide all those minerals until later on, when the roots are much longer. And, you know, that's what happens when you plant outdoors and the root systems really go down deep. And that's why outdoor gardening plants mature in like 90 days on average. And we only grow them for approximately 7 days. So, you know, the plants that we grow get most of their nutrition from the seed itself and from the water by osmosis. So the quality of the water is important, but actually these plants are so concentrated at this early stage of their life that the nutrition in them is anywhere from 50 to 100 times more concentrated than it is for the mature outdoor vegetable, even if it's organically grown. So we don't have to worry so much about the nutrition or even the quality of water, although I recommend to everyone that we use water that you feel is suitable for drinking. But that aside, growing in your kitchen, in an apartment building, you don't want to get involved in soil and all that extra, all the extra steps that are involved in bringing it in and taking it out and composting. And gosh, when I started out, Dr. Ann Wigmore, who was one of my mentors, one of the people who inspired me, she had us working compost buckets in our kitchens with worms in them.
Which many people today don't want to have anything to do with. Worms, ooh.
Well, she got, you know, she got the diehards, she got the devotees, she got the people who were too sick to do anything else but follow her word by the letter. But
yeah,
it's not necessary. If you, if you're going to grow alfalfa sprouts in water, then you can also grow wheatgrass in water and sunflower and buckwheat, all of the microgreens, because some of these things that I promote for growing can grow 10 to 12 inches tall, like the pea shoots and the sunflowers and the buckwheat and the wheatgrass. Those are all called microgreens because they're so tall and big.
Oh, should I be growing them 12? Should I be growing them 12 inches tall?
Well, that depends on the quality of the seed, because, and the time that you use. So if you're going to grow for 7 inches or 8 inches, or you're going to need more like 8 days to 10 days,
mm-hmm,
and you're going to need the warmer weather, and you're going to need you know, good quality seed.
Okay, but it's okay to do that.
It's
to
actually
grow tall.
Great. You know, the microgreens take a few days longer, so that's why I say 7 days a week, give or take. The microgreens are more like 10 days on average. Wheatgrass, I like to grow for 12 days. That's pretty long.
Now, what, how do you recommend harvesting them, and what do you do with the roots?
Well, the roots on the microgreens can get too chewy. So we have a situation where they're so chewy, they're not delectable anymore. So what we do is we cut them off at the just above the roots, so you're only eating the shoots.
Mm-hmm.
And the shoots for pea shoots, I like to dice up so that they're crispy and crunchy in a salad. And I dice up the sunflowers as well, even though they're more delicate.
Okay, and do you just get rid of the roots?
I
do.
Do
you eat them? Do you ever eat them?
I add them to my compost, and the roots are certainly clean enough to eat. They're just a little more fibrous,
mm-hmm,
and sometimes if the plants are not that healthy, the root systems are not that clean.
Mm.
So it's good to cut above. That's what we do when we harvest outdoors. We cut above the roots when we cut at the ground level. So, you know, that's perfectly fine to do even in a no-soil environment. But otherwise, when we're talking about the baby greens, like alfalfa and clover, radish, broccoli, cabbage, kale, all of those, you can eat the roots and all, because the roots are very thin, very tender, and you just want to rinse them clean so there's no shells on them. And you can, and those roots are very edible. They're not so fibrous like the microgreens.
Okay, now I have one of these, as I mentioned before, these Tribus sprouter that you plug in and it automatically waters all day, which makes it a lot easier. But I don't have anything stacked, and I see that you can stack a few on top of each other. And how does that work?
Well, you know, it's sort of crop rotation gardening, so that, you know, let's say I start on Monday and I start with alfalfa, and then it grows for a few days, and on Thursday I decide I want to plant some broccoli. So alfalfa would move up to the top position because it's now 4 days old and it's ready to start getting some light, and the broccoli is just starting out. It can go on the bottom level.
That's
how we would stagger the mm-hmm. maturity time. So they'll all mature. Every few days, you'll get a crop.
Right. Okay. Well, I just may have to get a few more of these to stack on top.
Yes.
Yes.
We just came. There's the more money you were worried about.
Right. Okay. Now, there's a conference coming up I heard about in New York, and you're a part of that. Can you tell me about that?
Yes.
I got
yes.
an email about that.
Yes, the real truth about health.
The real truth about health.
Yes, that's what it's called, and they've got a dozen speakers, including Sherry Soria and Brian Clement and myself, and several other bright lights in the health, diet, and nutrition world. And I think you should be there, Karen.
You do? Okay. Well, maybe I will.
But it's at the Millennium Hotel on 42nd Street. And, you know, it's just one of those good gatherings. And if you don't happen to live in the New York City area, you can attend by live streaming.
Live streaming is good. Yeah, I'm just looking at the names of the people that are going to be there, and I've talked to most of them on this show, a lot of my favorites.
Yeah.
Dr. Clement and Jeffrey Smith and Richard Oberlander, who's going to be here in January, and Michael Greger is going to be on the show in January, and Sherry and Dan, Sherry Soria and Dan Letterman. Yeah. I haven't seen them in a decade.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're looking good because they're fueled on raw foods, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of us who've been proponents of living foods for a long time, you know, and mostly, I think it's partially in opposition to all the canned and frozen and boxed food that has become a staple of the American diet. You know, I call it corporate food, and the corporations have really overwhelmed the availability of food and kind of de-emphasized the fresh food, you know, and de-emphasized the kitchen time, spending time in your kitchen preparing food versus the fast food or the prepared foods like the frozen foods. So, you know, I think we've got our priorities upside down.
Absolutely. Well, I can hear Jack LaLanne shouting out from wherever he is in the afterlife, if man made it, don't eat it. And then there's me, who's always saying, find your kitchen.
Yeah.
Find your kitchen.
I think we were all healthier back in our grandparents' kitchen when food was prepared and we ate fresh. We ate it from grandma. We didn't eat it from a box or a can. And that makes a difference in our health. And I think, you know, we can see the results of corporate food when you look at the cardiovascular disease, the cancer, the diabetes, the obesity. You know, that's the result of corporate food.
Okay. A couple of things about sprouts. Now, some people are nervous about eating sprouts because there's been some bad press about it. Can you educate us on what we should or should not be concerned about? There were too many negatives in there, I think, but I think you understand what I'm asking.
Yeah, there's been some food safety scares because of salmonella and E. coli, and those things, you know, make a lot of bad press. And sadly, the sprouting industry is a poor industry, unlike the, you know, meat and poultry. They can't stand up they don't have PR, and they can't stand up in the press and defend themselves. But, you know, here's the thing to know about salmonella and E. coli. They originate in the intestines of pigs and cows and sheep. This is not something that originates with a fruit or a vegetable. It's, you know, tomatoes don't come with salmonella, even though there has been an outbreak with tomatoes, and spinach doesn't come, and sprouts don't come that way. We don't generate these pathogens. However, we can be contaminated by them. So, you know, even if a farmer, you know, gets it on his shoe and he walks into a truck and that truck is distributing vegetables as well as meats, you know, there is cross-contamination. So contamination can also the seed can get contaminated. And so in the sprout industry, we're very careful to test everything. If you were to visit my website on seeds, you would see that I test everything as lab tested. I test for the quality of seed too, because I want to make sure when you're growing my sprouts, you're going to get really tall, green, delicious sprouts and with high germination counts. But I also send them out to the lab to test for salmonella in E. coli. And we'd actually take samples. It's actually a little flute-like pole that goes into the bag, and we twist it and pull it out, and we've sampled that entire bag because it's about a 22-inch flute. And we do that with every bag, and then we grow all of that stuff, and we test the rinse water from the growing of those sprouts. And that's what's lab tested. And they say that's 99.9%. There is no such thing as 100% guarantee when we're talking about microbiology.
Right. Now, there are companies out there like Monsanto and DuPont and Syngenta that are manipulating our seeds in ways that some people don't think it's a very good idea, genetic modification, and they're buying up a lot of seed companies. So are there any safe seeds out there?
Yes. Thankfully, we still have a certified organic movement. And there's also a smaller non-GMO certification. And if you look at my seeds, you'll see I sell strictly certified organic seeds. And that is really the only guarantee, that and the non-GMO certification, that our seeds come from that kind of source.
And Monsanto hasn't tried to buy up your source?
Well, yes, Monsanto has tried to buy up more and more fields, and they try to take control, and it's elevating, artificially increasing the price of seed everywhere because there's fewer and fewer farms where we can grow organic seed. So it's having a bad effect overall, and I think it's really misguided. I think it's dangerous, and, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, we might find out, we might have the proof of the dangers of genetic modification. But at this point, it's a struggle to keep our seeds safe and to keep the original seeds intact to protect.
So how many I don't know how to measure it. Pounds, ounces of sprouts do you grow a week?
Well, I can give you some numbers. 1 pound of alfalfa seeds, for example, will yield a minimum of 10 pounds of greens. That's alfalfa greens. And if you think about
that. That's a lot of greens.
Yeah, because when you think of a head of lettuce, that's about 3/4 of a pound. So on average. So when I put 6 tablespoons of seeds in the sprouting tray of my Fresh Life sprouter, that will yield approximately 3/4 of a pound of greens. So, you know, alfalfa greens or clover greens or broccoli or kale, I mean, these are all just baby leaves. So instead of having one large leaf, say, from romaine lettuce, I'm having hundreds of these baby leaves, and they're much more delicate and really delicious. The flavors are very pronounced. Broccoli is a much more pronounced flavor of broccoli. Radish is a very pronounced radish flavor. Radish lovers just love it. I can grow chives, which have a really garlicky flavor to them. So there's all of these wonderful flavors and tastes. And when you think about it, a pound of alfalfa seed is approximately $10. So if you grow 10 pounds from it, then that's a cost of $1 a pound for your organic greens. And, you know, what can you buy at the produce stand that's organic that costs only $1 a pound?
Nothing, and it's not as fresh as growing it at home.
Sadly, that's the sad truth, because at this time of year, if you live in the Northeast where, you know, you and I do, you know, you've got to bring in these greens from the Salinas Valley of California, and it takes several days before it actually makes it to the East Coast wholesale markets. And then it takes a couple of days before your market purchaser, you know, brings it in. And they don't always put it out the first day they get it in, because they want to get rid of the last shipment first. So, you know, they'll put it out. But when do you and I actually arrive there? But when we buy it, it may already be a week old. So it's lost some of that vitality that I've mentioned before. And we need that vitality for our health.
And the sprouts have more nutrition in them. They're concentrated nutrition, like broccoli sprouts. We know how healthy broccoli is, but concentrated broccoli sprouts are like powerhouses.
Right, right. Well, the original research, and there's tons of research on this. If you open up my book, Sprouts the Miracle Food, you can see all of the university research. I mean, lots of it. If you just Google, well, actually, you could go to my website on the blog and look at broccoli sprouts and cancer, or just Google broccoli sprouts and cancer, and you'll see all this research. Because broccoli sprouts, for example, that's just one of them, they produce approximately 50 to 100 times more of this anti-cancer enzyme called sulforaphane than mature organic broccoli contains, even if you were to grow it in your backyard. So these are basically seedlings, and as seedlings, they contain a higher concentration of nutrients. Because remember what I said earlier, they contain all the nutrition necessary in the seed for the development of a mature vegetable.
Well, concentrated broccoli sprouts, well, that was another kind of sprout that I had a hard time sprouting before, and I thought I needed to do it in dirt, and now I'm able to grow them in the Fresh Life Sprouter. And when I went through my ovarian cancer experience back 7 years ago now, I took concentrated broccoli sprout supplements, but now that I can grow my own broccoli sprouts, I've got all of this great anti-cancer nutrition anytime I want it, which is a beautiful thing.
We're at the end of the show, Steve,
so I wanted to thank you for joining me. And if anybody's interested, they can find out more at sproutman.com. Check the events tab to find out about this Real Truth and Health conference coming up in January if you're in the New York area. And thank you, Steve.
All right. Let's keep thinking green all winter long.
That sounds good. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. I wanted to mention just in a few seconds, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com. We have a brand new design. Please visit my website soon and often, and let me know what you think. Info@realmeals.org is my email, and have a delicious week.